once again seeking the help of God, I ask your attention to the book of Job, chapter 5, and verses 8 and 9. The book of Job, chapter 5, verses 8 and 9. I will seek unto God, and unto God would I commit my cause, which doeth great things, and unsearchable, marvellous things without number. I would seek unto God, and unto God would I commit my cause, which doeth great things, and unsearchable, marvellous things without number. We began to say this morning, and the Lord keep us from just mere repetition now, that this word has a condition upon it. It is the exercise of a living soul. I would seek unto God. It cannot be suitable, applied, or applicable to any other soul but a living soul. Because living souls will be seeking souls. Now, there's one other condition one feels that is written in these words. That the matter of which the children of God, you and I trust, the matter, the cause, well, it is of God. You see, dear friends, if you've got a pathway, it's a pathway that you would seek to bring before the Lord. Is it a pathway that He's put you there, or is it a pathway that you put yourself there? Because I tell you straight, if you and I walk a path of disobedience, my friends, you can do what you like, but you'll not have the smile of God upon you. I know what I'm talking about. I walked paths of disobedience and sought that the Lord would smile upon it, approve it, give it His seal, as it were. Now, the Lord doesn't do that. But it is written, my friends, to those who are being led and taught of God. Oh, how often does fallen man try to influence even the pathway of a child of grace? That they'll draw out this way to walk and describe that path to walk, and then they'll try to have a stamp of approval put upon it. My friends, where there's disobedience, where there is nothing more than the flesh, my friends, the Lord's blessing will never be on it. We have the case in the Acts of the Apostles, chapter 8, of a man called Simon. He was a sorcerer. And we read of him that he believed and was baptized. And he followed in the way of the apostles. But you see, all outward signs and evidences were there. He continued with Philip and wondered, beholding the miracles and signs which were done. Now, then we read this about him. And when Simon saw that through laying on of the apostles' hands the Holy Ghost was given, he offered them money, saying, give me also this power, that on whosoever I lay hands, he may receive the Holy Ghost. Peter said unto him, thy money perish with thee, because thou hast thought that the gift of God may be purchased with money. Thou hast neither part nor lot in this matter, but thy heart is not right in the sight of God. And dear friends, that can be said of all and each of us. If the way we walk is that which pleases the flesh, that which is designed and approved of nature, that hasn't sought the direction and leading of the Holy Spirit in it, my friends, the Lord's people know what it is to have a natural heart and to have natural tendencies and natural leadings. And you say, my friends, that doesn't come from God. Oh, these things are very serious. I would seek unto God, and unto God would I commit my cause. And another thing too, dear friends, in this pathway, and this is one of the evidences that it is of God, my friends, is the utter and total dependency that you and I shall have upon this gracious God. I've often thought what a wonderful day that was. If we read, and I hope you'll forgive me just moving around the scriptures, but I must, as the help is given, to speak. I've often thought how remarkable was the words that the Lord's servant Moses gave to Joshua. And Moses called unto Joshua, unto him, and said unto him in the sight of all Israel, be strong and of a good courage, for thou must go with this people unto the land which the Lord hath sworn unto their fathers to give them, and thou shalt cause them to inherit it. And the Lord, he it is that doth go before thee, he will be with thee, he will not fail thee, neither forsake thee, fear not, neither be dismayed. And if you read in the book of Joshua, in the first chapter of the book of Joshua, you'll have it confirmed there. And we read this, as I was with Moses, so I will be with thee, I will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. Have not I commanded thee, be strong and of a good courage, be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee, whithersoever thou goest. My friend, this is the blessing and favour, therefore, which the children of God seek for. I would seek unto God, and unto God would I commit my cause. Now, the Lord has given his people, therefore, those places, those pathways, those experiences, that we could describe them as the cause. But then we spoke this morning of the way of grace, and which the Holy Spirit is the author of and the maintainer of, and how that a poor, ruined, lost, undone sinner called by grace is brought to the footstool of mercy to bring the burden of the spiritual pathway to their Lord and to a gracious God. To seek him for the way of mercy and the way of favour. To seek the smiles of his face. And we described it also, I believe, as what we might say, nature could not understand it. It can never understand the ways of grace. The Lord first convinces of sin and brings to Jesus and to seek for Jesus' blood. Now, I want to go on a little further, if I may be so helped. I would seek unto God, and unto God would I commit my cause. I said also this morning that we must ever understand the truth of these words in respect to the will and purposes of God. Now, there are times when we have to say before the Lord that we have as not yet known what the will of God is in the matter, that we are unable, as the Spirit of Truth will help us to bring, to seek unto God for. And surely, my friends, if you love the courts of Zion, and the place where his honour dwelleth, surely these things are amongst the causes that a praying soul will bring unto God continually. I will seek unto God, and unto God will I commit my cause. The sanctuary of God, Zion, the Church of Christ. And what poverty, my friends, are we in? You know that if you fear God, you know it personally. And if you fear God, you'll see it before you, my friends, in the Church of Christ and amongst the people of God. There's a great withholding, a solemn withholding. It's not completely withheld. The Lord is still working. There are still souls that are brought up under the gospel and fed by the gospel and blessed by the gospel. My friends, but the state and condition of the Church of Christ, I believe, is more solemn than it is evident. And I believe, my friends, the Lord is very solemnly dealing with us. Because there's such a lack of discernment between the truth and between error. Because there's such little experience. Dear friends, you and I shall only be brought to know things by what we said this morning, by revelation, and that revelation will bring you and I into an experience of the truth. You won't learn salvation by just mere attendance to the Word of God. And I say that very solemnly, my friends, but very carefully. Oh, read the Word of God by all means. That is what we should do. My friends, but if we do nothing more than do it by the fleshly exercise of the mind, it will have had no bearing upon our salvation whatsoever. But the Holy Spirit teaches you and I the frailty of nature, the sinfulness of the old nature, the unworthiness of old nature. The Lord put grace in your soul, in other words. My friends, the state and condition of the Church of Christ, my friends, will give great concern and will be indeed the solemn cry out of your heart for the Lord to appear and to revive. I would seek unto God, and unto God would I commit my cause. How solemn, my friends, when the Church of Christ is in such a distressing condition, and we find here and there that there are other ways and other means which are to be tried, as it were, so that there might be a revival in religion. Dear friends, if you've got grace in your soul, it's the fruit of the mercy of covenant love. And if the Church of Christ is to be strengthened and revived, my friends, it will come by no other source nor no other way. If your soul is in hunger and thirst for the things of God at this time, my friends, the relief and the comfort and the supplying of your spiritual needs will come from the person of Jesus Christ and from the glories of heaven. I have to say this, my friends, a Holy Ghost religion is the only divine spiritual truth that you and I must needs have on the way to the end of our days. So, dear friends, if we look at the sanctuaries of God, if we look at the state of the Church of Christ, if we look at this poor denomination that's split here and there with various factions, my friends, the only thing that will indeed revive us personally and collectively, my friends, is the return and influence of the Holy Ghost. I would seek unto God, and unto God will I commit my cause. But then, you see, the children of God have pathways which the world will call impossible. And sometimes the children of God will be left to see that they are impossible. And one of the blessings, my friends, of a gracious God is this, that they shall be taught that these things are impossible outside of himself. I was talking to somebody recently about a certain affliction that somebody near and dear to them had. And they came to this conclusion, you know. And it's very difficult to say this without that we might be alluding, my friends, or rather turning the mind away from those things which God provides. Now, it's very easy to ask the Lord to bless the means. That's what we normally do when we're under affliction's pathway, and there are those means which are used. And you see, sometimes, without any consciousness of it, we relate everything to the healing or the deliverance from affliction to the means itself. Now, it was said like this to me. Much rather would it be, much more profitable would it be, my friends, if you look to him who gave the means. If you laid your case before this gracious God, the Lord gives wisdom to man to deal with affliction or with any matter concerning you or my pathway in life. But you see, it's very easy to trust in the means, my friends, and forget who the giver of those means are. To look to the treatment rather to the good physician who provided the treatment. I will seek unto God, and unto God will I commit my cause. You have a pathway to walk, I have a pathway to walk, and I trust and believe, if you are and I are amongst the children of God, it's a pathway ordained of God. My friends, we quoted that line this morning, cast on me, I said, he said, thy care. 'Tis enough that I am nigh. I will all thy burdens bear. I will all thy needs supply. The Lord help us to look above these things which we call the means. My friends, to look to him who is the provider of the means. I will seek unto God, and unto God will I commit my cause. The Lord blesses people with wisdom, therefore, to deal with the things of life and the things of death as well. And the health and strength of our body and mind and so on, and circumstances which we live. My friends, oh, that you and I might be turned away from looking at means only as the way of deliverance, but to look above the means. My friends, it's wonderful. You see, there was a man who was blind. In the Gospel of John, there was a man who was born blind. And they said to Jesus, was it because of his sins or his parents that he was born blind? It was for no reason, my friends, but for the glory of God. Now, the Lord, you might say, the Lord Jesus Christ then demonstrated what he said. He took clay and anointed the man's eyes with clay and sent him to the pool of Siloam. And he washed and he came seeing. Where was the cure? Was it in the clay? Was it in the pool of Siloam, my friends, or was it in the blessing of what the Lord Jesus Christ had upon that poor sinner? Can I only go back to the source, you know. The method of and blessing of the people of God is the work of Jesus Christ alone. And the God of all grace, the Father of all mercies, my friends, is the source of every blessing and favour. Of course he uses means. He has given wisdom to men to use means, my friends, but the honour and the glory doesn't belong to man. I met a surgeon last year. I was under a surgeon last year, and we were talking about these things in a very careful way, and he said, Napoleon, you see, had a surgeon. And that surgeon he had the ability to mend broken bones. If anybody broke a leg, an arm, whatever, this man was sent for, and therefore he prescribed and made the way so that the break should be healed. Well, this surgeon said to me, they said of this man what a great ability he had to mend broken bones. And he said, no, he said, I set them. He said, it's God that restores. I'll set them, he said, but it's God that heals. I will seek unto God. I believe, my friends, if you and I are children of God, he'll put you into pathways where there isn't any room for anyone else but himself. He'll put you into troubles and trials that only his grace can provide, and his mercy can be known. He won't put you into pathways where you've got the possibility of leaning on an arm of flesh or attributing the blessings and favours that flow from the Lord to some other source and some other way. I've often used an expression, I hope it's understood, my friends, the Lord will shut you up into that trouble. And there won't be room, nor there will be any means of anything else that will bring deliverance and blessing to your soul or mine, but through this gracious God. I would seek unto God, and unto God would I commit my cause. There's a word in Genesis that we read recently somewhere else about where Jacob was left alone. Jacob was left alone, and there wrestled with him a man till the breaking of the day. No one else there. No one else there. That man was the man Christ Jesus. There wrestled with him a man to the breaking of the day. Let me go, the man said, for the day breaketh. I will not let thee go until thou bless me. And you see, my friends, and we read these words, and he blessed him there. Oh, this word is, my friends, between a soul and God. It isn't with anyone else. It's between a soul and God. It's not using or trying to, as it were, share the glory or the honour with someone else. My friends, if the Lord blesses you and your soul in his house, God shall have all the glory and all the praise. If the Lord brings into your pathway a way of escape, the Lord has made a way by whatever means he may use. See to it, my friends, that he shall have the honour and all the glory. I will seek unto God, and unto God will I commit my cause. Real religion is personal. My friends, it's not something that we belong to this, that or the other denomination, and we hear this and we hear that. My friends, the matter stands like this. That's your soul and God, that is all. It's that personal pathway, and he shall have all the praise and all the glory that is due to it. You see, when we read of the Song of the Redeemed in the book of the Revelation, what does it say? Unto him that has loved us and has washed us from our sin in his own blood. That's where the praise is due, unto him. Well, we must get on, the time's going. I will seek unto God, and unto God will I commit my cause, which doeth great things and unsearchable, marvellous things without number. I want to view the word, if I may be helped to do so, my friends, out of what we might call experience. As we said this morning, we leave a life as to the scriptures of truth. What we're looking at today is the dealings of the Lord with his people. Now, this ninth verse, dear friends, is only can be spoken by the children of God as by revelation it is known to them, which doeth great things and unsearchable, marvellous things without number. We quoted this morning from Psalm 27. The psalmist there says, thou hast been my help. You see, that's a retrospect view of the Lord's dealing with his people. Thou hast been my help. You may read that word for your profit and good, perhaps on certain occasions. It may be that you and I have to come to the house of God, and we may enter the sanctuary of God, whether you're a minister, a deacon, whoever you are, and could look back on those times and seasons where the Lord has appeared. And it is on the grounds of what he has done, dear friends, is the prayer and supplication that he will still do what he has accomplished before in your soul. I turn just then to the 61st Psalm. Hear my cry, O God, attend unto my prayer. From the end of the earth will I cry unto thee. When my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. What's the next verse? For thou hast been a shelter for me, and a strong tower from the enemy. That's the ground, my friends, of approaching this good and gracious God. It's what you call the grounds of experience, which you have tasted, handled, and felt of the good word of life. It's those things which he has been pleased in his mercy to reveal to you, which doeth great things. I would seek unto God, and unto God would I commit my cause, which doeth great things. You see, there's some knowledge imparted. There's some experience being taught and known. This is not some passing on, as it were, word of mouth or from someone else. Dear friends, this is personal experience which doeth great things and unsearchable, marvellous things without number. My friends, you cannot say anything of these great things, unsearchable, marvellous things, unless you are the subject of them or unless you are the experience of them. Cannot be so, for thou hast been my help. Leave me not, neither forsake me, O God of my salvation. If you look at that word in the Acts of the Apostles, which the servant of God, Paul, was able to bring before King Agrippa, we read in chapter 26, that he outlines before Agrippa and Festus those things which he had experienced, how the Lord spoke to him on the Damascus road, and how that he had not only called him by his grace, but showed him in a measure his pathway which he used to walk. And then he went on to say this, whereupon, O King Agrippa, I was not disobedient unto the heavenly vision, but showed first unto them of Damascus and at Jerusalem and throughout all the coast of Judea, and then to the Gentiles, that they should repent and turn to God and do works meet for repentance. Having therefore obtained help of God, I continue unto this day, witnessing both to small and great, saying none other things than those which the prophets and Moses did say should come. My friend, this is how Eliphaz can write such words as this. And this is where the children of God are led to. Man is born unto trouble as the sparks fly upward. I will seek unto God, and unto God will I commit my cause, which doeth great things. That's not some hopeful wish or aspiration, my friends. That's the word of experience. And as sure as God has called you by his grace, my friends, so sure will he do for his people great things and unsearchable, marvellous things without number. How could you describe this verse 9? My friends, how could you find a word in the English dictionary which would describe these things? Which doeth great things as an eternal, holy, and a just God. He can do great things, and he does great things. You see, men go to the colleges of theology, and they learn religion, and they think when they come out about it's Christians. My friends, but there's a word in the book of Psalms which describes it all much more simple. He spake, and it was done. He commanded, and it stood fast. That's a word which refers, of course, to the old creation. My friends, it's as applicable to the new creation as it is to the old. And when he called you, if he's called you by his grace, or if he's called me by his grace, my friends, we didn't have to go away and learn theology at a college. He spake and it was done, who doeth great things. You see, there's a word in the gospel that speaks of the person of Jesus Christ, or speaks about the person of Jesus Christ. And it is this word, never man spake like this man. And that's a wonderful thing, my friends, if you as a sinner could say amen to the truth of that, that he's spoken into your heart, that he's accomplished what he desires in your pathway by speaking you into the pathway and speaking great and precious truths which have brought deliverance, which has brought blessing, and which has brought eternal favours to your soul, who doeth great things. My friends, this gracious God has never done anything but great things. If he communicates to your precious soul, my friends, words of peace, words of mercy, if the Holy Spirit is God, has taken of the things of Jesus and revealed them unto you, granted you a grain of faith to believe them, to trust in them, and to rejoice in them. My friends, he's done great things. Who can convert a lost, ruined, hell-deserving? Who can take a persecuting Saul, a Pharisee of the Pharisees, as touching the law blameless, and turn his life round, as it were, and turn him upside down, as it were? My friends, to make him a preacher of righteousness. My friends, the grace of God is great things. And the great things he's accomplished and will accomplish by his grace in the soul and in the walk and in the pathway of his children. And every one of them are undeserved of the mercy of God and are totally deserved of eternal wrath. I will seek unto God, and unto God will I commit my cause, which doeth great things. And we would not lose sight, my friends, of other great things. What would you describe, my friends, but anything else but great things when your prayers are answered? Oh, when he brings you to the footstool of mercy, my friends, when you come in destitute before God, when you cry with that father who brought his son to Jesus and said, if thou canst do anything, have compassion on us and help us. My friends, one answer to prayer is a great thing. You've accomplished more, and I say that not out of works, my friends, but out of mercy, than anything and everything that the world could possibly do. You've been heard in glory, my friends, on the grounds of the merit of the name of Jesus. And the prayers that have been offered have been Holy Ghost taught prayers, and the mercy of God is through Jesus Christ to your poor soul. My friend, one answer to prayer is a great thing. Honour and glory belongeth unto God. The psalm that we sometimes read, my friends, has these words. If I could come to the words I want. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. All his benefits. Providence, grace, an answer to prayer, the appearance, the deliverance, a way of escape. My friends, however you call the Lord's dealings with your soul, who doeth great things. You see, in this dark and evil day, my friends, when the world grows stronger, the powers of evil growing increase daily, I was going to say, wicked men get more wickeder, and the land in which we live is sliding into total anarchy. My friends, when religion is such a low, real religion is such a low ebb, false religion is on the ascendancy. You know, there is a tendency to believe something, my friends, that God is silent. He rules on no uncertain throne, nor borrows leave to be. My friends, never forget that. He's still on the throne. Plead the name of Jesus, which doeth great things. And unsearchable. What does the word mean? They can never be fathomed. That's what it means. You can never line up reason to mercy, my friends. You can never put reason down against the dealings of God. And unsearchable. As those words go from the Lord Jesus, with man it is impossible, with God nothing is impossible. Unsearchable. Depths of mercy, my friends, you and I will never plumb. Depths of mercy, which doeth great things, and unsearchable. You see, the Lord's dealings with his people cannot be explained, my friends, in words of any language. Cannot be explained. But when he reveals his mercy, and when he applies that mercy, my friends, when you know redemption by experience and not by a head knowledge, when you know what it is to be a pardoned sinner, not because it says that sins are pardoned, but because of the application of the shed blood of Jesus and Christ revealed to your precious soul, my friends, as the way of escape from hell, then you will know these are unsearchable mercies. Behold a scene of matchless grace. 'Tis Jesus in the sinner's place, which doeth great things and unsearchable. Marvellous things without number, or as the margin says, till there be no number. Till there be no number. Oh, you know, people, the free will is saying, don't they count your blessings? Name them one by one, and it will surprise you what the Lord has done. Well, I tell you something, my friend, if you can count your blessings, you'll be the first one. Because they are unsearchable. Thou without number, which doeth great things and unsearchable, marvellous things without number. Oh, but you consider this, dear friends. A triune God in glory is in this ninth verse. A triune God, with heaven and earth at his command, he waits to answer prayer. This is a power, my friends, that the professor doesn't understand. This is a mercy, my friends, that sinners are brought to experience. There's a channel of mercy, and that channel of mercy is Jesus. And through that channel of mercy, this blessed Lord Jesus is honoured and glorified, which doeth great things, and unsearchable, marvellous things without number. Let me pause for a minute. Let me pause for a minute here. There's a word, my friends, in the book of Judges, in the book of Judges, which is where you and I should be found. The word, I believe, one of the dear Lord's servants preached in my hearing on one occasion, and it was made sweet to me. And it put me in my right place, and it will put you in your right place if you're a child of God. What does it say? The angel did wondrously, and Manoah and his wife looked on. My friends, that's the place to come to. There's not any space there for the arm of flesh to take the glory, is there? And to take the praise. My friends, it gives all the honour, all the glory. But doesn't it display it? Doesn't it reveal the mercy? You see, when you read Psalm 46, as we often do, it's called a Psalm of Trouble. Well, it may be so. But you see, there's much grace needed in those words. Be still and know that I am God. If you and I know, if there's one soul in this chapel now, my friends, has had the word conveyed to them by the power and authority of the Holy Ghost, watch the Lord's hand. You've not to put your hand to it. My friends, you'll mar it as sure as you're living in this world. You'll mar it if you put your hand to it. But where it says, be still and know that I am God, the Lord grant you grace to obey that word and to watch the Lord's hand, who doeth great things. Who doeth, my friends? This is where these experiences are accomplished or known, my friends. It's the doing of it. And who is it done for, my friends? To the poor and the needy. But the Lord don't need your hand to do these things. Which doeth great things and unsearchable, marvellous things, without number. Oh, they are eternal mercies, my friends, from eternal God. Our blessings for time, our blessings for eternity. On the grounds of these great things, unsearchable, marvellous things, which flow from the throne of God, that flows from the means of grace, I mean the means of grace in glory, that are indeed known and experienced by the children of God in their pilgrimage journey. My friends, what wonderful things that they convey. What is the poor sinner to do who are the subjects of these great things and unsearchable, marvellous things without number? The pardon of sin, the deliverance from hell. My friends, one at God's right hand who has nail marks in his hands and his feet and his hands that pleads your cause before a holy and a just God. Great things, unsearchable, marvellous things that he suffered, died in your room, place and stead. Marvellous things, wonderful things. My friends, what is a poor sinner to do? You say, it just dropped into my mind. I don't go around pushing and shoving and twisting arms, my friends. Let me tell you this, what dropped into my very spirit. Then will I tell to sinners round, what a kind Saviour I have found. I'll point to his redeeming blood and say, behold the weight of God. My friends, if he's done wonderful things for you in providence, that he's made a way which there seems to be no way, that he's taken your cause and interest and made it his. My friends, whatever the subject is, my friends, they little or nothing to compare, my friends, to the way of grace. When he takes a poor sinner from the ruins of the fall and quickens them by his grace, teaches them their sinnership, puts life in their soul, puts a cry in their heart, my friends, and his only Son, Jesus Christ the righteous, suffered for such a soul, died for such a soul, rose again for such a soul, my friends. What words are beyond my understanding, my friends, and we shall never exhaust them, neither will I, throughout life's journey. I will seek unto God, and unto God will I commit my cause, which doeth great things, and unsearchable, marvellous things without number. Oh, may you and I be amongst those people who have the experience of these words. My friends, not the head knowledge of them, not the passing on of things which we read in the Bible. My friends, they are there to be read, and they are there to be understood. My friends, but this is not saving. It's what you and I are taught and brought into, led, believed in, trusted in, and rejoiced over. My friends, that we can say amen to the man's words as we look at them in this 8th and 9th verse. I would seek unto God, and unto God would I commit my cause, which doeth great things and unsearchable, marvellous things without number. Amen.
By singing hymn number 372 to the tune Austria 625. Hymn number 372. Glorious things of thee are spoken, Zion, city of our God. He whose word cannot be broken formed thee for his own abode. On the rock of ages founded, what can shake thy sure repose? With salvation's walls surrounded, thou mayest smile at all thy foes. Hymn number 372.
forgive and pardon what has been amiss, O Lord, in the services here this day. But hold and bless thine own holy word. Lord, let that be a testimony found in each of our hearts, who doeth great things. O Lord, we pray this, and thou shalt be glorified in that acknowledgement of truth. Now be with us, Lord, the rest of this thy day. Grant us the strength, O Lord, grant us the health, grant us thy watchful care, and grant us above all things the influence of the Holy Ghost. Lord, as we go away, take care of us, keep us from evil, and may we be brought to our homes or places of abode in safety. Now may the grace of the Lord Jesus and the love of God the Father and the fellowship, communion of the Holy Spirit the Comforter remain with us now and always. Amen.